Amen. 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 Another blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Or should I say, ooh-wee. Another blessing. We are blessed to be here, and we want to first of all just thank everyone that has done everything for us over since we got here on Thursday morning. We have certainly been treated royally. From getting off the plane to coming here and eating breakfast and everything else that you've done for us, picking us up at the hotel. We didn't even have to drive over this year to the church, everything that you've done. So I just want to thank on behalf of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church, just to say thank you to everyone right on down, the pastor, the officers, the leadership, the kitchen committee. If I miss anybody, charge it to my head and not to my heart. But we just want to thank you on behalf of Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church for all that you've done. And it's a blessing to be here again another year here at Shiloh. This is my sixth trip. And as Minister Tracy Ross said in her introduction, originally came here the first time with my pastor, Reverend Richmond Brown, and for 2 years. And then after that, I think it was three of us came. I did not envision, but your pastor has 20/20 vision, so maybe he envisioned it. As you can see, I don't have 20/20 vision. At least literally do not have 20/20 vision, but to now have 32 people come from members and former members even of Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church to come and fellowship with you on this morning. I want to specifically thank the pastor. It's always good to be invited to come and speak. But when you're invited back a second time, that means a little more than the first time. That means you got through the first time to come back again and speak. And to Bishop Hearns, who brought a wonderful message this morning. It's an honor to be in the same service with you, sir, preaching in behind. You didn't leave much for me. You took care of the meat, the potatoes, the vegetables, and all I got is a little dessert to bring us on home this morning. I want to especially think, we're going to get into the message. I know that there's a time and we're going to eat after this and that, but I want to really thank the pastor just personally for coming out to my ordination service in January. That you know someone is really a friend when they get on a plane and go cross country and the only thing that you give them is a dinner late night at Denny's. Now that's a friend. Amen. We are, as we said before, we're blessed to be here, and we're glad to have so many that have come for the first time to Trenton to fellowship with you, and we're growing each and every time. Seems like more people want to come as those that come back share their experience of what has happened here over the 4 days that we've been here, the services. So we want to just say again that thank you for everything. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm here to not just give thank yous, and you can see I didn't, all the other parts of the service, you saw our praise dancers and you've seen our choir sing, and now I can't do either one of those things. So my ministry has to be something other than singing and dancing. So I'm here today to bring forth the word to you today, and we have a word from on high here today. Let us pray first of all. Heavenly Father, we do come again. We thank you for another opportunity. We thank you that you have allowed us to come from the West Coast to the East Coast. We thank you for that traveling grace. We thank you for the love that has been shown over these days. Thank you, Lord. And now it's time to receive your word. And now it's time that I might decrease so that you might increase. Use me as a vessel to bring forth your word to these your people. And let's have a listening ear and an open ear to take in God's word. And not only to take it in, but to take it out to a sin-sick world. In the name of Jesus, we do always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. I'll ask you to stand, if you are able, for the scripture reading. I'm coming from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and the 21st and 22nd verses. Jeremiah 31, 21 through 22. Me and the bishop were both in the Old Testament today. We didn't do a tag team, Bishop. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way today. Amen. Jeremiah 31, 21. Scripture reads, "Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth." And I want to use as a subject this morning, are you on the right road? Amen. You may be seated. Are you on the right road? When we arrived here and we received a package from your welcoming committee, and I noticed on your package inside was a t-shirt, and the t-shirt was very clear that it had 2020 vision, and 2020 vision, so it shows that the church, the God has led the pastor in a vision that is going in a certain direction. And the church needs to follow in with that. And by doing that, they need to get on the right road. And if you don't get on the right road, I'm going to talk about that later, you are going to be on the wrong road. So the right road, how do we get on the right road? Well, Jeremiah, I use Jeremiah. You can use a lot of books in the Bible to talk about getting on the right road. But Jeremiah the prophet, known as the weeping prophet. And when you get a nickname like that or a title like that, means that you must have had to go through some things. So Jeremiah had to go through some things before he got to where we're talking about this morning, where he's talking about following the right road. When you read the book of Jeremiah, it says as you go through the chapters, and if you go to the 11th chapter, it talks about in his hometown of Anahath, they plotted to kill him. You go on a little further to the 12th chapter of Jeremiah, and the Bible says that even the brethren and even the house of his father was dealing treacherously with him. You go on to the 20th chapter, and you see that even his friends had cast him aside. Now, you know, that's a rough thing when the people from your hometown, your family, and your friends have turned against you. But Jeremiah said in one of the most popular or most known verses in the Bible, he said he got to a point in Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, in the 9th verse, and he said, I'm ready to give up. I've gone through a lot. People have turned on me. Friends have turned on me. Family members have pushed me aside. I'm at my wit's end. I can't do no more. But the scripture says that the word came to him like fire, shut up in his bones. Even though Jeremiah had to go through all those things and had to go through a lot, even at that point, he said, I still have to go forward because the word of God is within me. When something gets within your heart, it doesn't matter what anybody does. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Nobody can turn you away from the Lord. But the problem was not Jeremiah. The problem was the people. And the people were constantly turning away from God. And Jeremiah was trying to lead them in the right direction. And it became frustrating when you just keep trying to lead people and you're trying to guide them and they're not following. They're going in a separate direction. But Jeremiah, despite all that, hung in there. And then we get to the 21st verse and he starts talking about there's a way. There's a way, there are signs. He called them waymarks. There are signs to keep you on track. Now, everybody that came here this morning came from different directions, but they all got here some way, somehow. Isn't that correct? And I would gather that all of us passed some signs to get here. And if we had done something in passing those signs that was illegal, we may have got here, but we may have gotten some tickets on the way. We may have gotten an accident because we did the wrong thing. But the highway and the signs are there to guide us. The signs are there to keep us going in the right direction. And so as we came here, and I hope nobody got a ticket this morning. But as we came here this morning, we know that there's signs along the way. Now I think of signs on the highway. We've been blessed this week because we haven't had to do a lot of driving. We've been, right, Deacon Hicks? But we did venture out on our own one time. Well, go off into Philadelphia, and we went off our way, and everything was fine at first. But on the coming back, Deacon Hicks made a wrong turn. Now, I made the same turn, too, but I was behind him, and I was following Deacon Hicks. Now, that might have been the problem. I don't know. But that one turn that we made, we got on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And as while we're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I'm like, when is there going to be an exit? We're going for miles and miles and miles. This was a bad error. Bad turn. Finally, we get to the last exit. And so this is the last one before New Jersey. So we took that. And then we got back on. I don't know what happened. But we wound up somewhere where we were about to go through, right where we had went back through, and we needed to go the other way. Now, I hope there are no police officers here today or no cameras, but we had to do something really rough. We had to make a four-lane turn to get over to the other side and U-turn over to the other way. Now, I know there may be some officers here, but God was with us. We was able to get two vehicles over, turn back, and go back the other way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh-wee. Another blessing. So you can see when you make the wrong turn in life what it can do to you. So here we are, waymarks. Set up waymarks. And those signs, if you follow those signs, they will get you to the place where you need to get. Now the first sign, we're going to talk about a few traffic signs. But we're going to talk them in the godly, the spiritual manner this morning. Now, we are all familiar with stop signs. And stop signs mean that we need to stop, right? We need to stop at the stop signs. Now, we have something that we do in California, and they may do it here. It's called the California stop. Amen. Now, I don't know if you do that in New Jersey, but the California stop is when you come up to the stop sign, and you don't really stop. You just kind of keep on going. That's not the right stop. But as Christians, as ones that are traveling the right road, we need to stop sometimes. Especially if you're going in the wrong direction. Psalms 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Sometimes we need to be still. We're moving so fast. We're going so fast that life is so many things going in life that we don't stop down and recognize and acknowledge God and who He is. Taking time to read His word and learn His word. When Saul came to Samuel before he became king, Samuel told him that you need to stand still for a while, that I may give you the word of God. See, today here now at this church, right now, everyone is still. Now, if I'm up here too long, people are going to get a little fidgety. They're not going to be that still. Right, Bishop? Bishop said, that's right. Amen. But we need to stop sometime and recognize who God is, what He's done for us. Just thank Him sometimes. Get on your knees. And sometimes it may be in your hotel room. It may be in your homes. Maybe sometimes before you get in the car, just thank Him for who He is. We need to be still. The next sign that we need to recognize is the yield sign. You know that little triangle sign that has yield in the middle of it. And we need to yield because we need to yield and let it known that it's not about this flesh. This flesh can only do so much. But we need God in our lives. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Don't yield to sin, but yield yourselves to who? Unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to yield. Let this flesh, knock this flesh down. Because sometimes this flesh wants to do some things, wants to do some. You heard all that lovely bio and that introduction, but this flesh is still working on me too. And it's working on every one of you as well. So we need to yield ourselves unto God. And so that we'll be alive from the dead. Now the next sign that you see frequently on the road is the merge sign. You're familiar with that one. It's like a two-lane highway, but it's going into one lane. And so as you go into one lane, now if you can do it and try to stay in that lane as long as you can and try to stay in that lane, but eventually if you don't move over to the other lane, there's going to be some repercussions. If you don't get over to the lane, like if you've been going, and sometimes you look at it, some of us are going back and forth. We're in the middle of the divide. Sometimes we're over on the lane that we're supposed to be on, but sometimes we want to venture back to that other lane. But we need to stay in the lane that God has for us. We need to merge. See, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right in Proverbs to a man. But that way will lead to destruction. As soon as you start thinking something seems right, it seems right to me. Well, most of the Bible works for me, but, you know, that tithing thing just don't work for me. You know, most of the Bible works for me, but that given all that time doesn't work for me. I can kind of deal with Sunday morning service at 8 or 11 once a week, but giving up some of my time, I can't give that up. I don't want to merge into that. But we got to merge, and when that was written in Proverbs, it must have been so important that Solomon wrote the verse two times. It's in the 12th chapter and in the 16th chapter. So that must be important. So we got to merge into, and when you come into the church, start merging into something. Get caught up into something. Our pastor used to always say, go in your vineyard and work. And whatsoever right he will pay. Find something that you can do. You don't go to a job and don't work. Well, if you do, you don't work long. So we need to merge. Now, the next sign that we see, now this is the one that we didn't quite follow the other day, but you've seen the no U-turn signal. Actually, we didn't see that, but we know it wasn't right what we was doing. But it's no U-turn. When you get on the path, when you come to the Lord and you accept the Lord in your life, you should be on a path and a direction for the Lord. You should be going straightway and leading and giving up those things that are behind. You know, Satchel Paige, the Negro League pitcher, said one of the things he said, I don't know if he was thinking biblically or not, but it works, is don't look back. Something might be gaining on you. So once you get in going in the right direction, don't look back. If your problem was drugs, don't look back at that. Don't go back to those places. If your problem was alcohol, stay out of those bars. Stay out of those liquor stores. Don't look back. Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't do God's work and be working in the world and doing all that devilment at the same time. You got to give that up and move on. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So when we need to move forward and stop looking back. Sometimes we get so caught up in the past. So you're talking about a 2020 vision for 2020. And it's good sometimes to look in the past. There's some great things in the past. But don't just live only in the past. You got to sometimes look toward the future. And then there's a final sign. There's many other signs that you see, and they can all relate to the church. And when you see that, you go by the schools and you see the children, and the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And you're doing that here. I saw that on Friday night. Amen. You're following in that right road. But see, the right road, and this is the most important thing to remember, and I hope you, as you're going home, you can look at all these signs as you go home and think back. But the most important sign is the one-way sign. The one-way sign. And even with that U-turn, we better not have done that if it had been a one-way sign, because that would have been a problem. But the one-way sign, see, there is only one way. Some of us try to find all these different ways. There's this way to come to Christ. There's that way to come to Christ. There's this way. I'm going to do it my way. This is not Frank Sinatra. My way does not work here. There's only one way, and that is the Lord's way. Acts 4th chapter says, be it known unto all men that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God have raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way. There's only one road. And if you get on the wrong road sometimes, it might be trouble getting back to the right road. We managed to do it, but we went through some trials and some tribulations and some pressure getting back on the right road. You don't need to go through all that. When you get on the right road, you can just stay on that right road. God's way is the right way. Any other way is the wrong way, because it leads to destruction. The right way, God's way, leads to life. The wrong way leads to death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. And if we're led in the right paths, Christ's way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the problem with the one way is that it is a narrow way. And if it was a broad way, see, the other way is a broad way. The narrow way is a hard way to stay on, because you only have so much room to stay on that narrow way. So you have to first enter by the narrow gate. Because the other way is broad. It's much easier. Let nobody tell you that it's an easy way. But I can tell you this, that it's a fruitful way. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. And the Bible says there are few who will find it. So we need to strive to enter through that narrow gate. And then once you pass through the narrow gate, then you know that then you can start making those things in life that you know are the right things to do. That you start doing the right things, but the wrong way is a broad and a wide gate. See, some people claim that everyone will be saved. Jesus said that only a few will find their way to life. Some people claim that good people in all religions will be saved. Peter said that salvation is only by the name of Jesus Christ. See, some folks say that salvation can be earned just by doing good works. Paul says that knowing that a man is not justified by his works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Some folks claim that they can be saved by faith only. James says, you can see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Some people claim that they are on the right road because their parents christened them at an early age. I got news for you. Your parents' life could have been perfect, and they could have, not perfect, but they could have been following God and been saved, but that's not going to save you. If you're here today, it's good to have the prayers of parents, but that won't save you. Some folks claim that they can be saved by performing religious rituals when their lives are full of sin and their hearts are full of pride, jealousy, and hatred. But we are warned, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Are you on the right road? I'm so glad today that I finally, somewhere along the way, got on the right road. See, that resume and everything was nice, and that bio is nice, but on anybody's bio, on anybody's resume, they had to go through some things to get where they are today. I had to go through some things. I didn't put on there when I was in school, and I didn't have no money. I'm waiting for the BEOG and the SEOG money to come. And I was in the cafeteria, and I had to put the food in a bag so I could get through the weekend. See, there's some things, like I say in the past, we don't need to forget. We need to remember where we came from. And then when we remember where we came from, we can strive and thank God that He's moved us to a higher height. He has moved us to a place where we know we're on the right road. But as I close today, I want to leave you with this. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and He came down a road. The Bible says He came through 42 generations. And then when He came, in John it says that He came and He became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't have to do it, but He did it for me and He did it for you. And He came and they said He healed the blind and He gave sight to the blind and the deaf and the dumb were healed. And He did all these things because He came on that way. I'm so glad He came along that way. I'm so glad He took that road and didn't detour off. Sometimes we need to think about it when we get ready to detour what Christ did for us. Because He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says when He went to that garden, that He went not one time, not two times, but He went three times to His Father and prayed. See, what Jesus did first, He stopped. He stopped in the garden and He prayed. And then after He stopped, what did He do? He yielded Himself to His Father. He came and said, if it's not right for me, but He yielded Himself. And then He merged Himself with His Father. And then when He merged Himself to His Father, then we look, and then what happened next? He didn't turn around and say, I'm going back up high. He didn't do a U-turn. And also, what else happened? He stayed on that way. And on that way, they took Him up to Calvary. And He went up on that cross. And He stayed on that way. And He did it for you and for me. I'm so glad He stayed on the way. And He did it for all of us. And then what happened? He died on that cross. He died on that cross. But the Bible, the story did not end there. The way did not end there. Because the Bible says He was buried. But 3 days later, He got up. He got up with all power in heaven and earth in His hands. I'm so glad He stayed on that way. He didn't turn around. He didn't go back to the Father. So I'm here to tell you all that are here today, whether you came from New Jersey or you came from Pennsylvania, those of us that came from California, stay on that way. Stay on that road that doesn't lead to destruction. Stay on that road that leads you to a highway. But that highway won't be like a highway down here. It's a highway to heaven. And you get on that highway. And then you'll hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. In Jesus, we always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen and amen. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. There's a song that I'm not going to sing. Don't worry about that. There was a song that we used to sing back in the church, and the song was Jesus is a way maker. And it says, one day he made a way for me when my life was dark and dreary. Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. One day the sun refused to shine. In this sinful soul of mine, I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. And I'm so glad that one day he heard my prayer and he answered then and there. One day he made a way for me. One day my life will surely end and I'll have to bid farewell to men. And I'll tell Jesus my ups and downs and the evil that was all around. He'll say, my child, well done. Your race was hard, but now it's won. Jesus is a way maker. Yes, he is a way maker. At this time, the doors of the church are now open. If you have been on that highway to destruction, that highway that is leading you in the wrong direction, alcohol is not the answer. Drugs are not the answer. A big bank account is not the answer. Nice cars and nice homes are good things to have, but that's not the answer. There's only one answer, and there's only one way, and you've got to turn your life around and turn your life. This would be a great time to take a U-turn. If you're out there now and you're looking for a change in your life, make that U-turn in your life now. Stop going to the way of destruction. Stop going down that road that's just leading to death. Make a change in your life and turn it around and come to Jesus. Because he has something for you. I said it may not be easy all the time. But you have a church here that I, from my observations and in my heart, I know that they can help you. If you're in a situation, they can help you. There's people here. There's the pastor, the officers, the ministers, the members right on down through the congregation. They can help you and you can turn your life around. You're not going to do it any other way. You can't do it through any other situation. Only through the Lord. You can try everything. You can try it. But it isn't going to work. So if there's one now.
You don't have much time.
You don't know about tomorrow. It's not promised to you. Yourself to the master. He'll make your life.
He'll make your life sublime.
Yes, he will.
waiting just for you.
He's waiting just for you.